waiting for it. When I say we all, I mean Brian, our technical producer, and Lauren.
I thought you meant humanity.
No.
Lauren is freaking out. She's got a bucket of popcorn. She's posted up. She's ready and fired up to hear Richard Roper. Look out.
I haven't been drinking water for multiple days. That way I don't have to go to the bathroom.
That's a very good point.
Bold strategy.
Yeah, that's right. I will. I don't know if it's bold as much as it is awkward, but it is a strategy nonetheless.
The health risk is worth it.
Yeah. You know what? That's amazing, Lauren, because in my Sun Times review, which I just wrote, I actually said in the review, and I don't think I've ever written this in a review before, go to the bathroom just before the movie starts because it's 3 hours and you don't want to miss a moment. Because even at the critics screening, a couple of times some critics walked out. Ooh. I wanted to trip them on their way out. They come back. I'm not going to tell you what happened.
Can't trust him.
You don't know. There could be a dead Avenger in the 5 minutes you were
right.
gone.
And you missed a minute.
Or an Avenger marriage or an evil twin Avenger. You don't know. I'm not saying any of those things happen, by the way. We're kind of trying to keep it as spoiler free as we can with our review.
I think
of
an Avenger marriage is kind of fun. I think Ant-Man and Thanos getting together, maybe. I don't know.
Thor, is that your hammer? Are you ready for our wedding night?
Oh, it's the web. He gets to pull that kind of crap.
All the superhero movies have been always kind of light on that part of the story. Yeah, I mean, Lois Lane always had a smile on her face. We know that. After, Clark Kent, and they had a nice romance, but we never got any details about that.
Didn't they kind of make love in orbit or something?
Yeah, they sort of, remember they had that look on their face,
In Wonder Woman, in the first Wonder Woman movie, she was in love with Chris Pine, the World War One pilot.
Not Chris Evans.
Not Chris Hemsworth or Chris Pratt. but three of those crises are in the Avengers movies, Avengers Endgame, right? Because Chris Evans is Captain America.
Right.
Chris Hemsworth is Thor.
Right.
And Chris Pratt is Star-Lord. One of my favorite things about the Avengers is I was writing all the names of the characters. So you say, Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark / Iron Man.
Right.
Captain America is Steve Rogers / Captain America. But Chris Hemsworth is Thor / he's just always Thor, guys. That's it. He ain't got no alter ego, no secret identity. He's Thor all the time.
All right, so your thoughts on this film?
So this is the much ballyhooed 23rd entry in the Marvel Universe, Avengers Endgame. And, it has been hyped to the skies. It's going to gross $300 million in its opening weekend. Here in the United States, opening weekend's really going to be about 4 days, and we'll probably crack the 2 billion mark worldwide in a matter of a month or two.
Has it opened anywhere else yet?
No, it is looking.
Happening simultaneously?
Yeah, and in fact, I saw the screening earlier today as we were talking about at the AMC River East, and they had the ropes already there, and it said lines begin to form at 6 a.m. So I guess, you can get some of these theaters, you can assign seats, but others you can get a ticket, but it's not a guaranteed seat. I don't think I'd wait in line. Jesus, I would wait in line at 6 a.m. if I thought for sure he was coming by.
Mm-hmm.
Springsteen, not 6 a.m. But God love those crazy fans. So for folks who, have been following along with this, first of all, can any movie live up to the hype? And I am happy and pleased to report that this film lives up to all of the crazy hype. It is maybe the best superhero movie ever made. Certainly one of the best movies in the entirety of the Marvel Universe, in part because everything we've seen in those other 22 movies has led to this moment, to this incredible collection of all the Avengers. Now, for those of you playing at home, The Last Avengers, Infinity War, sorry, we have to talk about the ending of the movie that came out before this one.
Yeah.
But Thanos, the most evil, despicable villain in the Marvel Universe, played by the great Josh Brolin, believing that the worlds, all the universes were going to be destroyed soon because of, the fake news climate, overpopulation and the global warming. He decided that the only way to save the world was to arbitrarily slice the population of the entire universe in half with the snap of his fingers. And he had the six Infinity Stones, which, as Lauren knows, allowed him to do that. So at the very end of the last Avengers movie, it was shocking to people because half of the characters in the Marvel Universe disappeared in clouds of dust. They died. Now this movie picks it up Immediately thereafter, with the surviving Avengers all in a state of mourning, scattered to various ends of the earth, because half of the planet has been destroyed. There's no more Peter Parker Spider-Man. There's no more Nick Fury, the Samuel L. Jackson character, many others. They're gone. So now, they've got the surviving Avengers. You've got your Tony Stark, Iron Man, and Captain America, and Black Widow, and a few others. But what can they do? They can't do anything until...
Uh-oh, what? Mm.
Yeah. And this is the only part we have to give away a little bit of what's going to happen here.
All right, hold on. So, okay. Letting people know who are listening now online or will be listening to this podcast that this is... This may be the moment that if you want to be a total virgin walking into this, which most people are, who are really into it, there is. This is your moment to check out.
Yes, I will say this too. Even in my print review and continuing here, I guarantee I'm not going to spoil the 10 biggest plot points in this film.
Okay.
But Paul Rudd, who plays Ant-Man. You know, he's deep into the quantum physics and all that kind of stuff, because he's been, in previous movies, he's shrunk down to even smaller than an ant, and he's entered the quantum realm and been inside, all kinds of places where nobody else could go. So he's kind of dealt kind of with, transporting oneself in mystical scientific ways. So he's saying now, can we take it to the next level? Can we explore the quantum realm to the point where we can expand time in a way that we could go back just far enough to before Thanos destroyed all the people, half the people in the world? And then one of the Avengers says, well, you're talking about a time machine. And he goes, no, it's a time machine. So now the idea is going to be that the surviving Avengers are going to pair up in teams of two and travel to various spots on the timeline and various places. They got one shot to maybe
make this work,
reverse history. So here's this clip.
He used the stones again.
Hey, we'd be going in shorthanded,
Look, he's still got the stones, so.
So let's get him. Use them to bring everyone back.
Just like that.
Yeah, just like that.
Even if there's a small chance that we can undo this, I mean, we owe it to everyone who's not in this room to try.
If we do this, how do we know it's going to end any differently than it did before?
Because before you didn't have me.
Hey, new girl, everybody in this room is about that superhero life. And if you don't mind my asking, where the hell have you been all this time?
There are a lot of other planets in the universe. But unfortunately, they didn't have you guys.
It's Captain Marvel, Brie Larson, of course, because they've just met her. Because in the Captain Marvel movie, which was set in the 90s, at the end of that movie, she went off to save a lot of other planets. So that's why they're saying, where have you been through all of this, all of these things?
Captain Marvel happens before this, though, right?
Captain Marvel takes place in the 1990s. This takes place in real time and then a few years in the future. So, in the Marvel universe, they keep saying,
how does Donald Trump handle this?
They never mentioned the president.
Okay.
It's the Marvel universe, and it's a much more marvelous universe. But it's great how they keep asking her. It was a great way to explain the absence of the Captain Marvel character. She took off in 1997 to go save other planets. We also had to wait for Brie Larson to grow up and get cast in the role. Then she could play it, and for Captain Marvel to become a movie. So you got everybody here. You got all the Avengers and the Guardians of the Galaxies and the Wakandan royalty, you name it. And one of the cool, this movie's 3 hours long, and I'll tell you this, it does not feel like a 3-hour movie. It moves at such a brisk, breezy pace because there's so many characters to keep track of. And miraculously, the directors and the screenwriters managed to keep us involved with all the characters without ever losing track of them, even though it gets pretty complicated because they make some Back to the Future jokes, but it becomes a Back to the Future movie.
Right, the time machine.
You can't talk to yourself. You see yourself. Remember that Marty McFly will tell you that?
Yes, right.
This movie also quotes Hot Tub Time Machine, which is fantastic, but another great time travel movie.
And what you have, though, which is so fascinating, is now because Marvel is such a gigantic machine, and obviously it's helpful that you got Marvel with Disney because they like to spend money, sort of.
It's warranted.
You have great directors, you have great writers, and you have these are A-list actors doing
this. A ton of them together.
When you look at the cast, I mean, even, some of the roles of the parents and, the ancillary characters, you've got, Robert Redford is the Secretary of State. Michael Douglas is the original kind of inventor who came up with Ant-Man. Michelle Pfeiffer is his wife. I mean, and you see, I would count probably 10 Oscar winners and probably 10 Oscar nominees in this crowd, because Natalie Portman has a role, and there's Mark Ruffalo, Scarlett Johansson, Chris Evans. I mean, these are A-list, as Rose said, A-list actors, and then a lot of young stars on the rise, too, like Elizabeth Olsen, Chadwick Boseman, who's now a star. Right. He's not a star on the rise. He's a bona fide movie star. So you have great acting and a lot of humor, and there's a couple of things that happen here I don't want to give away, but really much needed comic relief in places you wouldn't expect it, and actors you wouldn't expect to be funny being really funny. And I've always said Robert Downey Jr. is, to me, the heart and soul of the entire Marvel Universe. Tony Stark is, to me, the most fascinating alter ego, civilian, if you will, of anybody.
Because he feels very real. He feels like a lot of characters that are actually in our lives.
Tony Stark movie, you know, the first Iron Man was mostly a Tony Stark movie before he became Iron Man. And Iron Man is a guy in a suit who flies around and can do cool things. Tony Stark is the most fascinating character, much more fascinating than any iteration we've had of a Bruce Wayne or a Peter Parker or a Clark Kent. I think Robert Downey Jr. does Oscar level work, but they never recognize it in superhero movies. Black Panther got a nomination, but his acting here is as good as his acting when he plays Chaplin, when he does any other roles, because he's playing Tony Stark. And one of the things I loved about this movie is it spends at least as much time on the human side of the various characters than when they put on the superhero suits. And the cool thing is, when you think about it, a lot of these Avengers are human beings. They are vulnerable. You know, Black Panther, T'Challa needs that suit. If not, he can be killed. Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson, Jeremy Renner's character. Obviously, Tony Stark. He's got that, you know, that artificial heart. All of these characters, most of these characters. Thor's a different story. He's an immortal from Asgard, you know?
What are you going to do?
He's got to skin his knees? No, you know? But, you know, Bruce Banner, you know the Hulk, can, you know, they are vulnerable and can be hurt and can die. They're not immortal, most of them. So there's genuine risk at play here.
You can afford
these movies.
This payroll with so many stars, too. The last one, Infinity War, was like $600 million opening.
Yeah, you can. And a lot of them at this point, well, Robert Downey Jr. gets a piece of the pie. So, you know, he will make $250 million, baby, from this movie alone. Because they need, you know, look, when he was the first Iron Man, they couldn't get insurance on him. It was hard to get him bonded. You know, John Favreau had a settled vouch for him, the director of the first Iron Man. Because this was,
I seem to recall he might have had some issues in his past.
Yes.
Like the time that he fell asleep in somebody else's child's bed. Because he walked into the wrong house.
But I did a thing with him at the Music Box Theater just before Iron Man came out in the year 2000. And I met him backstage and I said, "How you doing?" He goes, "Much better than my hotel room. I just trashed it last night." And I said, "Oh, gosh." And he goes, No, it's because I'm not back on anything, but I needed to do something.
Wow.
So, and I'm like, okay.
Wow.
Good to see you, bud. But I love the action in the film, but to me, more of the heart, the emotional wallop it packs. Because the characters are traveling back in time, it gives them opportunities to revisit certain moments in their lives, maybe, and certain emotional things, and maybe even see people who are no longer with us in the future if you go back in the past. Just like, you know, in Back to the Future, when you see different, you know, people at different stages in life.
Lauren is like a 10-year-old on the ground right now, with like her cradling her head in her hands, just watching this, so excited. Couldn't be more excited about this. Your reaction?
Well, one thing that stood out that you mentioned, Natalie Portman is making a return.
Just about everybody you could think of who ever played a character in any of the Marvel movies is here one way or another. Now, maybe it's a dream. Could be a flashback.
Could be a reference.
I'm not giving anything away. But this is not one of those things like, you know, when you see the cover of a magazine, you find out that all the 12 people from the cast of Game of Thrones were not in the same room for the photo. It's none of that. You know, these are all of the actors who are in this movie were really in this movie. Even though sometimes you're seeing, because they go back in time again, obviously you're going to see things that happened before on the Marvel timeline, but the actors are back playing in that part at that time so they can interact. It gets a little complex. Maybe a Captain America of 2020 meets a Captain America of 2012. Since you've changed your hair. I'm not saying that happens. Because it might not. I might have used that as a red herring.
Sure. And is the government still trying to get involved and keep them at bay? Or are they just like, help us now?
Well, that I'm not going to tell you. I'll leave that pleasure for you.
How about this? 847, do you need to see any of the other movies? Before you see this one, what would you recommend?
Yes.
In case you're not like Lauren, who's seen every single one of them.
You know, some of these, I think Lauren agrees, some of the Marvel Universe movies along the timeline you could probably have watched without knowing everything that's going on. Because you kind of figure out that big giant guy that talks like this and has the biggest spear and a tail and wants to destroy the universe is the bad guy.
Right.
And then the guys wearing the stars and stuff are the good guys, and here we go. This case, I think, if you haven't seen them, it's going to be lost on you.
Even Marvel. That's what I asked you before, and I know Texter is also asking the same thing, because that recently came out. That's probably going to be the one that most people haven't seen.
Captain Marvel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you don't have to see Captain Marvel. You just have to acknowledge and accept that Brie Larson's Captain Marvel is now part of the universe. But almost every one of these films introduces a new character, right? I mean, and a lot of these characters, I think we mentioned this, yesterday, they have not met each other until now, or just in the most recent. The Guardians of the Galaxy didn't even know about Thor until he landed on their ship. The raccoon, the rabbit, as some people call him, the rat, and the tree.
Yeah.
Even the tree and the raccoon are played. Vin Diesel plays Groot, and Bradley Cooper voices the little raccoon.
Oh, don't bring him up.
Oh, God. Hey, listen, he has some emotional moments here, too. Don't think a little wisecracker doesn't have a heart, too.
Are there any garage doors?
Does he hang himself?
What does the dog's look on his face? What happens then?
It all comes back.
Right, because I know.
There is a duet. No, but
Lady Gaga finished the movie off.
At one point, there is a duet. But it's
all right, how many stars?
4 stars for Avengers Endgame. You should have seen the other movies before you've seen this. But if where have you been?
You have to see Infinity War, though, right?
I think you don't have to see all 20, have seen all 22, but you should be at least familiar.
Can I just watch Infinity War and then watch this?
Yeah, you can.
Between the 4,000 hours of Game of Thrones I got to catch up on.
Look, there were a couple times where I had to think for a second, like, wait a minute, who is this person or being? Because it'll be like the daughter of some other character who was only in one of the movies and now shows up, and I had a geek next to me, a girl geek next to me at the screen, and she elbowed me once, like, ah, that's she goes, oh man, Nebula, and I'm like, what is that, the new snack? I have snow caps. But Nebula is a character, as Lauren probably
blue.
Knows. She is, in more ways than one, too, because there's
because
daddy
of the
issues
movie.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Karen Gillan playing Nebula. It's amazing cast. And it's great to see, there's such an element of diversity, but also girl power. Because, even Gwyneth Paltrow dons the suit. Robert Downey Jr.'s wife, Tony Stark's wife. And then you've got,
she doesn't try to sell you anything. There's no goop products.
There's a couple of crystals for $199.99 that could probably help you out.
Egg? And she's not trying to sell her that egg, is she?
Because That egg.
Yeah. But when you think about it,
so she takes out Thanos.
Thanos, you have the crackiest dry skin I've ever seen, Thanos. I can help that chin of yours. That's a problem area.
She's bending over, just firing those eggs.
Yeah, I know. All right, come on.
There's no eggs.
Come on, grow up, Kev.
Now, Game of Thrones is the one with the bending over and the eggs. Okay, oh, okay. Kev, you know that. There's dragon eggs. You know what kind of bending over takes place.
Okay. All right. Oh gosh. Hold on, I gotta get this thing. All right. Well, let's. Gwyneth Paltrow, for being the goof of all goofs.
The goop of all goofs?
Yes. The goop of all goofs is a very talented actress.
Yeah.
Another Oscar winner. That's like every other scene. You're like, oh, there's Gwyneth Paltrow. There's Natalie Portman. Yeah. There's Michelle Pfeiffer. That's, impressive list. Angela Bassett. You can't walk a step without running into an Oscar winner here. They all just put all their Oscars together and thrown them at Thanos. They could have knocked them out.
And before we stop this part of the presentation, and this will also end the podcast that we'll run here. Even though we are doing this live, and you could tell because I made a lot of mistakes. Did you say this is the best superhero movie of all time?
I don't think it's the best superhero movie. I think it's, I think you'll see some people saying that. It's hard to give that Insta acclaim to a film.
Right.
It's one of the best. I would say it's the most emotional, the most emotionally impactful of all the Marvel Universe movies. But again, in part, it's because of all of the equity that we built up. People have really come to love these characters. We've seen Tony Stark for 20 years now. You know, Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark, Iron Man, through these various films. Even Thor, Captain America, you know, who's, again, a guy who was a World War II experiment, you know, got frozen and then woke up. It was 70 years later, but he's still, you know, he's Captain Steve Rogers, the all-American guy. In fact, Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark says at one point, that's America's ass when he's in his tight clothes in this movie.
The first Avenger.
You know, I think it's arguable that Tony Stark saved Robert Downey Jr., right? As a human. Like, the character.
Yes.
This is a case of a character saving an actual real life, you know, flesh and blood actor from himself.
Yeah, and his wife, Susan, who's from Schaumburg originally, also saved him. Because at the same time, because he had, you know, he's got a grown son who's like close to 30, I think, now. But, you know, he'd be the first to admit he made a lot of mistakes in early romances. He was with Sarah Jessica Parker for the better part of a decade before she married Matthew Broderick. But I would definitely say his career and his life, you know, the combination of settling down, starting a new family with a wonderful woman. She's a producer. That's how they met, on a film that he made that nobody saw. And then, the resurrection of his career, because then, you know, Sherlock Holmes and everything else. He was already doing well, too. He's now, you know, insanely wealthy because of these films.
Because of Iron Man.
I mean, just, you know, step aside, you know, little Tommy Cruise. Yeah, I got the check. And a brilliant actor. One of the best actors to not yet win an Oscar.
Yeah, probably.
And he will one day.
I mean, I think it's arguably he's the best actor of his generation.
He's like, he can do anything.
Yeah.
You know, that's absolutely true. And you see different, again, not to give too much away, but there's different story arc here for him that we've never seen in these movies before.
Too. All right. Oh. Well, then he's worth the price of admission, then. What is the price of admission now?
I wouldn't have
$600 million
clue. I do know that I got a bottle of water, and it was $6. And I said, no, just the one bottle of water. And they said, yeah, that's... I go, $6? No, it's $5.99. I swear to God, $5.99.
Do they up the ticket price for these?
Special event films, usually if you're seeing it in the theaters with the fancy seats and the surround
right,
sound and
you buy
stuff,
it online in
you're
advance,
buying it in advance.
Like 20
and,
bucks,
yeah, you can get up to $20 for a movie. Any of the advance tickets, you know, there's just like concerts. All of a sudden, there's the fee and the convenience charge.
It's not like when I was 25 and my dad said, "Get on your knees and we're walking in here. We're going to say you're 12."
Yeah,
still doing that. My dad snuck me into movies.
That's fantastic.
I mean, I was like 15, and he's like, "All right, just tell me you're 12." Like, I'm 15. I go, I can't do that.
Two for body heat.
Right.
Kathleen Turner, what is happening?
All right. Stay right here. Hold on. Let's, you know what we'll do? We've got to talk about the Robert Kraft story. We're ending the review now. Although if people do have phone calls, if they would do, I don't know, could we take, I don't know if we're even allowed to, you can't really answer questions. Really, can you?
Well, Anna could read the questions, and then I can decide if they could be... Because what if someone blurts out a plot point? Like,
yeah, we don't want that. No right. Spoilers.
But then on the other side of the news.
Sure.
And then Robert Kraft. America has been spared.
Oh, okay.
A really horrifying moment worried. Here.
Are we
going to get one of those anime recreations? Remember, like when we used to see those, like the Tiger Woods thing, like the Taiwanese do, like that animation kind of thing.
Yeah,
Can we get that?
An artistic rendering of what happened.
Yeah, a little anime kind of thing.
Please no. Even that will burn my eyes.
I know.
Just the thought in my own head of what this might look like when it was described by a law enforcement officer who's seen the video.
Yes, it's been described.
It's just one, and that's just one. It's like a two-line description. It's not even sexual, and you're like, oh, my God.
Ordered the Kraft mac and cheese.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Horrifying.
Doesn't even mean anything, but it sounds bad.
It does.
Kim, could you? I just threw up in my mouth. Could you do the music?